You're listening to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Sam.
And we're talking about Cat's Eye, the global girl group of Question. There are discussions online about Cat's Eye being this really exciting, revolutionary new girl group because of the diversity of the people who are in this group. This is discussed throughout the documentary. And people are really excited to have a group that has a lot of... Yeah, people are really excited to have a group that has a lot of diversity. And you can see it in the members as well, who seem to be excited to, quote-unquote, represent for their people.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know what your thoughts are on that, on diversity in this girl group, and also, yeah.
Well, personally, earlier we talked about how their globalness or their diversity was mainly how they're from all over the world and different ethnicities. I mean, three of them are American.
They are diasporas. They're people of diaspora.
Yes. And who said they were novel in diversity? I'm sorry, because like Fifth Harmony is pretty diverse. Little Mix has diversity.
Boys World.
Yes. So, whoever said they were novel, no, I'm sorry. but in the sense that they are a diverse K-pop group, I'd say, yeah, they're the first. No?
I'm going to debunk you on that. Have you ever heard of Black Swan?
I have heard of Black Swan.
So over the years, Black Swan, they started out as being like, I think all Korean. Maybe there was like one or two people who are not Korean, but who are of East Asian or Southeast Asian descent. And then over time, as the group has changed its lineup, there has been a lot more diversity in the group. Like, I don't think there's a single Korean person in the group anymore.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's a group. For example, there was a group called Z Girls. I don't really know if I want to get into them. I didn't really love their music.
Okay.
they were girls from all over multiple countries of Asia.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm happy for the girls. They're supporting this diverse group, but yeah, they're not the first. And they're not the first for K-pop either, as I just found out.
Yeah.
This is Bird Note. In northwestern Belize, a long upward slope leads to a clearing at the edge of an escarpment. This rocky outcropping offers a sweeping view of the tropical forest below. As the morning sun causes warm air to rise, a pair of white hawks soars into view, the male calling. In flight, a white hawk is shaped like a compact red-tailed hawk. Sparkling white overall with black markings, its plumage is striking for a hawk. The pair scans below for reptile prey. A diminutive dark falcon, a bat falcon, swoops in, alighting on a bare branch. Its blue-black head is patterned like a peregrine falcon's. The white upper breast contrasts with a darkly barred chest and cinnamon belly. This 10-inch falcon hunts on the wing, chasing down swifts, dragonflies, and the bats that give it its name. Now, a rhythmic cry draws attention to a large raptor. An ornate hawk eagle, perched at the forest edge with a spider monkey in its talons. More than 2 feet tall, the hawk eagle's head and neck are handsomely patterned in black, white, and rust below a tall black crest. Its underparts are finely barred in black and white. It's still morning. what splendid raptor might show up next. For BirdNote, I'm Ariana Rimmel.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Sam.
And we have changed locations because it was getting cold at the park. But we are still outdoors.
Yes.
Unconfined by borders. The fictional concept of borders, which Cat's Eye, the global, apparent global girl group, wants to claim that they are as well. Last we left off, we were talking about diversity in girl groups. Sammy made the point of the fact that there are a lot of girl groups that are very racially and culturally diverse already.
Yes.
That's true. I think you're right. And we also talked about some K-pop girl groups that are already actually pretty diverse racially and culturally as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing for me that, like, I find really interesting is that, you know, people will try to look for the things that validate them in the places that they can. And the company Hybe Geffen know that audiences want to have a girl group that seems really unapologetically ethnically diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that throughout the documentary where producers of Cat's Eye mention it throughout, like, we want to get a global array of contestants and trainees. We want to get talent from all around the world. And I don't quite remember if they mentioned it explicitly, but you know, the idea of having, like, many types of girls from all backgrounds is important to Hybe and Geffen because that's what audiences want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that is reflected in a lot of, like, the fan discussions about Cat's Eye. But what I don't know that I totally appreciate, actually, I know that I don't really appreciate this, is the fact that the company really seems to egg this on. Like,
yes, we were talking about the Lunchbox YouTube video.
Yeah. So this is the Lunchbox YouTube video is a 30-minute video on YouTube. Lunchbox YouTube video is a 30-minute video on YouTube, what am I saying? It's a 30-minute video in which the six members of Cat's Eye open up, like, a lunchbox that has a note from their parents and that also has food that is popular from their cultural or ethnic background.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we've got Hainanese chicken rice from Megan, and we've got drinks and snacks that are popular amongst Hawaii locals because Megan is born and raised in Hawaii and is part Cantonese.
Mm-hmm.
We've got black beans on rice from Daniela, who is Latina. We have kimbap from Yunche and Yakult from her as well. And the girls in that video, they kind of discuss and bond over this idea that, like, these are the foods that I brought to school for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
That's the concept of the video. The question for me is not whether it's not whether or not this is true, but rather, like, how is the concept of cultural and ethnic diversity being presented or by this company through this group through certain means.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of the Stinky Lunchbox journalism articles? Or, like, the Stinky Lunchbox articles?
I think so, yes.
This like, kind of somewhat popular trope, I guess, in some journalism, and particularly in food journalism and cultural journalism, in which people who are not white talk about their experiences about bringing ethnic foods to lunch
mm-hmm.
that cause a stir because of the way that it looks or the way that it smells.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't help but to think back to that trope when I see this video. Of course, I would understand, for example, if, like, Yoonchae brought, like, kimbap to school.
In Korea.
Yeah. Because she was born and raised in Korea and she was schooled in Korea. But also, I'm vaguely aware that a lot of schools in Korea, like, they serve their own lunch.
Mm-hmm.
They don't serve, like, parents might not pack their children's lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it might be the concept of a lunchbox, right, it's also a very American concept. It's also, like, a particularly kind of, like, middle-class idea or middle-class American idea of a lunch because mm-hmm. some kids obviously, like, they have to eat school lunch because they can't afford to bring food from home. But I don't know. I think that's kind of interesting, I guess. Do you am I making sense? Do you know where I'm coming from?
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, for me, being, like, a mixed kid, I was also a very picky eater. But that's besides the point. I would bring, like, a variety of food to school. But, like, this video seems very intentional about what foods each member brought with them. Like, very traditional meals from where each of them are from.
In a sense, there's also this idea, I think, that some fans have about how, oh, you know, Megan is Cantonese, and so I feel represented by Megan. And Megan would also take that upon herself, right? We see that a lot with a number of the members, particularly, like, for example, this is a conversation that happened in Dream Academy, where mm-hmm. Daniela was talking about how audience members from South America and Central America, like Latina viewers, didn't view her exactly as Latina mm-hmm. because they were questioning her, like, fluency in Spanish and her familiarity and proximity to her culture.
Mm-hmm.
On the topic of ethnic or cultural or whatever representation in Cat's Eye, what are your thoughts on that?
I think they're trying to make it, like, the main point of the group at some points. Like, with that lunchbox video. And I don't know if they will continue to, I guess, market off that narrative. But the group's already formed. And I guess, like, again, we've had diversity from other groups in the past, so I don't want to say it's, like, a gimmick, but, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I kind of know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think one thing's for certain, like, the members of Cat's Eye are not discouraged to practice or to express their love for their culture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I especially see that with Sophia. She's very proud of where she came from, and especially during the competition show, the Philippines really came through for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. I know a lot of... In Dream Academy, there would be clips of viewers who are watching the competition reacting to the performances, and there were some viewers who were like I'm voting for Manon and, like, whoever else is black because
yeah.
they also are black.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel a little bit of, like, a psychic connection with Megan. In the sense that we're both Cantonese.
Yes. There's definitely a personal bias, yeah.
A slight bias. But I would... The thing that I think kind of worries me is this idea... Or maybe it doesn't worry me, but... Like, the thing that I keep thinking about is the idea that it's a duty for any of them to... to, like, be in this girl group almost like they're in the Olympics. Where
like, I'm representing my country!
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, because, you know, I think about... I think about just the fact that they come... All of them come from very different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have obviously had very different experiences from, like, their other peers who are... you know, of their racial or cultural or ethnic background. And when I see a company really try to, you know, emphasize, like, the... quote-unquote diversity that's happening here, it makes me question a few things. Like, the first one is, are we accidentally putting pressure or unintentionally putting pressure on people to be more X of something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, at one point, I think Daniela really was like, I have to prove that I'm Latina, right? And maybe that is a personal thing, right? Like, a lot of ethnic people who grow up in diaspora, we're almost always, like, trying to prove ourselves to be enough of something.
Mm-hmm.
for our family members, for people who are in our ethnic communities. But also, I feel like that pressure shouldn't be on her. That kind of pressure shouldn't be on any of these people, because what they're actually representing is not their whole community.
Mm-hmm.
What they're actually representing is them, themselves, their own stories. And they happen to be a part of this really beautiful and even more diverse cultural or ethnic or national community. That's the first thing. The other thing that I think about is the question that I have about the concept of being a global girl group and having quote-unquote diversity and representation, because these are talking points in, like, the diversity, equity, inclusion space. Can we representation and diversity our way out of racism through a girl group?
Probably not, man. I mean, if I'm being honest, you know, it's like sticking a band-aid on a explosion.
Explosion. Yeah. It's like, you know, giving a, you know.
I mean, it's a beautiful idea. And like I said earlier, the girls are really excited.
Well, you know, it's the way that the company talks about and tries to market this group is using a lot of this kind of, like, diversity, equity, inclusion language.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or equity, diversity, inclusion, whatever order people are using it nowadays. And I mean this is a classically, you know, liberal centralist American thing to do, which is to appropriate the concepts of, like, progressive movements, including anti-racist movements and stuff, in the hopes to make money, essentially. not to go back to Drag Race or anything like that. Like, so Drag Race filled, but, like, you know, I often see on Drag Race, like, a queen will come onto the show and they'll be like, you know, I'm of this, you know, for example, I'm an Asian queen. I can't wait to represent for all the Asian kids out there who could have used a role model like me.
And while that can be true and really valid for a lot of people, if we're going to honor the need for diversity and we're going to honor the concept of diversity, we also need to recognize diversity within diversity. and know that actually for some people that need for diversity might have looked a little bit different in other ways.
Or
feel free to cut this out completely.
Okay.
I'm gonna switch. But like, do you know Winx Club?
I do know Winx Club. No, I don't. I technically don't.
Okay, so
I know of it.
Winx Club is an Italian animation show.
It's Italian?
It is Italian.
Oh, okay.
And so about a group of fairies, all with unique magical abilities, but they also are different races. And a lot of people, fans, have been drawing the parallels between Cat's Eye and Winx Club.
Oh, really?
There's fan art. I can show you after this.
Oh, yeah.
This is kind of like, as you said, like, the role model, the Asian role model. Is it kind of bad that growing up, like, for at least Winx Club, my favorite one wasn't the Asian one? It was the Latino one?
No! Of course not!
I dressed up for her as Halloween when I was, like, 6. She was my favorite.
I think that's, you know, you raised, like, this really interesting point, which is, like, kind of what I'm trying to get at here, which is not everybody needed to have, like, in different contexts, they didn't need to have, like, the Asian drag queen to be their role model.
You're my one.
Yeah,
my one.
They didn't have any other Asian drag queens to look up to, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, your favorite drag queen is not Asian, even though you're Asian, right? And that speaks not... I don't think that speaks to the need necessarily of diversity, but it's the recognition that, like, we come from different, unique worlds mm-hmm. within ourselves. And I think that's what Cat's Eye should be representing.
Yeah, exactly.
The individual members of Cat's Eye. Megan and I are very different.
Mm-hmm.
I was not born in Hawaii. I'm not mixed race. I don't have the aspirations that she does. We probably, you know, have very different educations and maybe of different class backgrounds. And, you know, our family histories are probably quite different.
Mm-hmm.
Megan might not be gay, you know? Like, but I think that's okay, because even though I'm like, she's my favorite member, partly because, like, I'm like, ooh, another Cantonese person,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm more appreciative of her as a whole being,
mm-hmm.
as a whole person. And I think that when the company tries to emphasize, like, if the company is insistent on, you know, feeding into the idea for fans, like, that they need this representation, that, okay, girls, you are team Philippines, and you mm-hmm. are team California, and you're team Atlanta, and you're team Hawaii, or whatever the hell it is, right? That puts a really unnecessary and, I think, problematic pressure on these performers.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, a restrictive label, like, you can only be this one thing.
It's tokenization.
Mm-hmm.
It's classic tokenization. That is not to say that it's not freaking cool that, like, Lara, who is Indian American, that she feels comfortable wearing a bindi, right? Like, that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That she feels like she is at liberty to do this and to express herself and to show how proud she is of her culture.
Mm-hmm. That, or, like, her nose rings and her jewelry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And that is also her story.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Sam.
As we wrap up this episode about Cat's Eye and about the show that they were on called Popstar Academy. Dream Academy? What is it called?
Netflix show was called Popstar Academy Cat's Eye, and then technically the reality competition show they were on was Dream Academy.
Okay. Yes.
Lots of dreams, lots of pop stars. Only one cat's eye.
As we wrap up this episode about this, like, global girl group and whatnot, what are your final thoughts?
I mean,
we covered a lot.
We did. Because when I first heard of Cat's Eye, I was, like, kind of intrigued by, like, the whole global girl group thing. And I would, like, watch their music videos. But then after the documentary, it really made me appreciate the girls more and want to follow them in their career. So I guess all I can say is I'm curious to see what they will do next. How about you?
I love idols. I think it's important to, like, if you love something, you also have, like, a critical eye, and you also give room and space for, especially if it's the thing that you love is, like, a group of people who are singing and dancing, you give them room to be, like, human people and to be weird and flawed and to swear and curse on live streams. And I'm not hating anything that they're doing right now. So unless they start, you know, endorsing, like, war criminals or something like that, I think they're pretty good in my books. Mm-hmm. For now.
Not blacklisted yet. If you're into idols, go watch Popstar Academy and listen to Cat's Eye music.
Yeah, I guess so. And also, if you're not into idols, but, like, you're really
curious.
Yeah, you're really curious and you listen to Typically Tuesdays and you're always confused about what I'm talking about, I think you should watch Popstar Academy. You're right, Sam.
It's a good North American introductory to idols, I feel like.
It's definitely really localized for the audience. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. We can talk about child labor laws another day. Anyway, Cat's Eye don't need that much promotion, to be very frank, but here it is, and here we go. This is Touch by Cat's Eye, and that's the last song here on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 FM CJSF. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Sam.
Bye! Enjoy, I'll talk to you soon. Touch by Cat's Eye. Touch, thought about you way too much, overall thinking us. You've been so out of touch. You've been so out of touch.